Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. Adult toys. No, not those adult toys, but the kind that are toys in the traditional sense. Think fluffy animals and action figures, not to mention trading cards and board games. Oh yes, and Lego. Millennials and Gen Z consumers are buying toys, games, and collectibles for themselves at an incredible rate. I would say that the toys are not just for children, but in many cases they are not even for children, given what's happening with the global birth rate trends and the way in which toy companies are rethinking their strategies to sell expensive toys to adults, not just Paw Patrol and Barbie to the little ones. Whilst I will always be inherently skeptical of industry-level statistics and their accuracy, reports suggest that adults purchasing toys now accounts for almost 30% of global toy sales. It hardly matters whether the exact number is 20%, 25%, or 30%. The point is that this is now a substantial and growing part of the total toy sector. But why should investors care about this? Well, buckle up. You might just end up feeling bullish about bears by the end of this. We begin with Lego as a case study. Lego launched its adult-focused category in 2020. Fast forward a few years and Lego achieved record revenue in 2024, helped tremendously by an adult range that was reportedly 15% of the total product portfolio. In the first half of 2025, they have followed this performance up with record interim revenue and a growth rate of 12%. Many of the products are priced at a level that only serious hobbyists with deep pockets could consider, like the Star Wars Millennium Falcon that retails for around $850. The Death Star, that takes the cake, selling at $1,000 a set as the most expensive new LEGO product that you can buy. If you are not part of the target market, then this will probably sound nonsensical to you. But if you are a Star Wars geek and you have money, which many do since there's obvious overlap between geeks and their ability to earn strong salaries in a tech-focused world, then this is the kind of aspirational item that you might just buy with a bonus or as a big treat to yourself. The numbers simply are what they are. Lego is cleaning up at the moment with adult category sets. Next time you walk past a toy store, look at the amount of effort that gets put into the section with adult sets. Formula One is a huge brand partner at the moment, with Lego tapping into the market of people who would typically buy model cars of their favorite teams instead. To commemorate my trip to Le Mans last year, I bought the Lego Peugeot hypercar set. It sits proudly on my bar counter, accompanied by other memorabilia from the trip. And of course, it makes my kids more interested in Lego, which I think is a good thing for them, and it's an especially great thing for Lego as a company. Now, that's all good and well, but Lego is a private company. You can't invest in it, no matter how much you like the Death Star. Thankfully, there are examples of listed companies tapping into this trend as well, though. And one of them has a return in recent years that will astonish you. Get ready to be bullish on bears with the Build-A-Bear Workshop story. You see, Build-A-Bear Workshop's share price is up 2,157% over 5 years. And no, you didn't mishear that. It's not a typo. If you don't believe me, just check out the stock ticker BBW listed in the US. On National Teddy Bear Day in the United States, a great marketing opportunity if ever there was one, nearly 100% of the 3,500 Build-A-Bear survey participants believe that teddy bears are for all ages. Build-A-Bear's numbers certainly support this view, with revenue up 11.1% in the latest quarter and diluted earnings per share up by a ridiculous 46.9%. The stuffed bear and other fluffy animals company is posting earnings growth rates that would make many tech companies blush. And unlike so many tech companies, they are achieving the profits to go along with the revenue growth. Gross margin increased by 340 basis points, which tells you that they are doing a great job of getting their premium bears out the door at suitably high prices. Reduced promotional activity made a big difference in this quarter, so they didn't need to do as much discounting as last year to drive sales. There might be plenty of pressure on global consumers, but apparently not when it's time to buy a fluffy toy for someone special, or as a bit of retail therapy. Build-A-Bear has 627 global locations with a mix of corporate-owned, franchise, and partner-operated stores. Interestingly, there are 368 corporate-owned stores in the footprint, which gives them a lot of control over the customer experience. Before you worry about the CapEx burden from this approach, versus, for example, having many more franchise stores versus corporate, it's worth highlighting that store-level contribution margins are over 25%. That is absolutely insane in a retail context, with many discretionary goods retailers thrilled if they hit 10%. The trading density of the Build-A-Bear model makes it one of the most lucrative retail models that I think you'll find anywhere. It's not just about the stores either. E-commerce and omnichannel sales are up 15.1%. They can tap into the digital trends not just for orders, but also for marketing opportunities on social media. Obviously, products like Build-A-Bear are absolutely perfect for the influencer economy we find ourselves in. Are you really going to feel upset about a cute bear popping up on your feed? Probably not. There are so many clever initiatives at the company to keep traffic to stores on the up as well. This is where they target the higher value collectors and gift givers, with the old trick in retail of getting them into the stores and winning a higher share of wallet as a result. As customer acquisition strategies go, does it get any smarter than the Count Your Candles campaign? You go there in your birthday month and pay the age that you are about to become, but only if you're a loyalty program member. The fact that they can do this campaign tells you something about the lifetime value of a customer. I'm not sure if they do it in South Africa, so don't go to the store and then get angry with me if it's not available there, but they certainly seem to do it in the US market. Halloween this month? The Tills will be running at Build-A-Bear, with the cute fluffy things getting ready for their pumpkin-inspired outfits. International expansion? No problem. Build-A-Bear is currently in 32 countries, and as management puts it, the teddy bear hug is understood in every language. Beautiful. By now, you must be waiting for the valuation catch. After all, this business seems to be amazing. Well, guess what? Despite being listed in the expensive US market, a recent correction in the share price means that Build-A-Bear is now trading on a PE multiple of 14x. That's similar to what you'll pay for a bunch of South African retailers that definitely don't have this footprint or these margins. I'm tempted. Very, very tempted. I don't think the kidult trend is going away anytime soon, and the staying power of teddy bears is proven by my childhood bear that I happen to also have in my bar, proudly wearing my high school basher. Might help that I went to a school where the mascot is a teddy bear. Call me biased, but I think it's kind of hard to fault the Build-A-Bear model. This is an impressive example of thematic investing and specialist retail. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.